Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Isaiah is a prophet to the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel at this time is kind of on an upswing. Isaiah is living in the comfort zone in the first five chapters of the book of Isaiah. And then Uzziah dies, which is the king who he had been prophet to, who had always received what he had to say with gladness. And then he feels like, oh no, we're in trouble. Things aren't going to go so well. But that's where he sees the Lord high and lifted up. And when he begins to get a glimpse of the Lord high and lifted up, that is when he begins to prophesy concerning the coming of Messiah, or the Savior, the Anointed One. And he begins to see things that are not as though they already are. He sees the things that are in the future as though they exist right now today. And it's my hope today that we will begin to realize that many of the things that Isaiah saw were things that we see today. These are not future events. These are not promises of some new dispensation, but these are things that we can rejoice in today. And in the 60th chapter of Isaiah, verse number 16, he says, "You shall drink the milk of Gentiles and the milk and milk the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Instead of, everybody say instead of. Instead of bronze, I will bring you gold. Instead of iron, I will bring you silver. Instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron. I will also make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. And I know we're seeing turbulence in our world today, but we don't serve the same God that they serve. We serve the only wise God, to whom be glory and honor and praise and power and might and dominion. And I hope that by the time we leave this place, God has transported us in our minds from thinking in carnal terms to thinking in spiritual terms, to thinking from thinking in, oh, if man would write a novel, this is how it would end, to this is what God says about my life and his church and our place in this world. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I'm going to preach this morning God's exchange program. The stock exchange is a place where an individual can invest money and receive stock in exchange for their money. That stock represents a portion of the value of a corporation. And if the corporation is managed properly, the hopes are for profit. And if the product or service offered by the corporation has rising value, then theoretically the value of the stock will continue to rise. And if the economy is strong, the stock should rise. At least that's the way it is supposed to be. I've been to Powell's Books many times, and Powell's declares themselves to be the largest used bookstore in the United States. It's a great place to shop and purchase both new and used books. And I've noticed that the price of a used book is almost always less than the price of a new one. I've also realized that as the books become tattered, they are worth less. I've noticed that the book buyer will give a smaller price in exchange for the book than he intends to sell it for. They're there to make a profit. But I am so glad that God always adds value to a life. God always gives more, not less. This is the contradiction in all that happens in life. Is we read a book, we can take it and exchange it, and you may have paid $19.95, and they're going to say, well, I'll give you $6.95, and they in turn tend to sell it for $12.95. They're going to give you less than what they are going to make out of it. But God is so different in his economy. We give him nothing and he gives us everything. We give him brokenness and he gives us wholeness. I am so glad that God reached into the circumstances of the children that we call the Hebrew children. Their lives were filled with fear, slavery, harshness, oppression, hopelessness. They had broken bodies. Their children had been slain unrighteously. They had lived in hard labor for daily provisions that were meager, leeks and onions to eat, and the whip of the taskmaster. And they were giving their lives to build the treasure cities of Egypt, some of which we see the remains of even to this day. God chose to give us these illustrations. And the Hebrews were broken. They were slaves. They were less than. They were downtrodden. But God came with his word through Moses. And he said, I am going to take you out of where you're at and into a new place. God always takes us out and up. It's not worse. It's always better what God has for us. The decision was easy, but the process was a struggle. How many can witness that? We said, oh yeah, I'm going to follow God. And then we go, I got to stop doing that. No, you don't got to. Not if you don't want to follow God. But if you want to follow God, then that path doesn't lead to that activity. And there are things that we die out to. We die out to our flesh and die out to sin and die out to our past. Thank God he can erase our past. The road out was not without its difficulties. But God gave them freedom from their oppressors. They had little, but they left with the best of Egypt. We realize that after God passed through with the death angel and the firstborn of every household was slain, both of animal and of human, they asked the Egyptians for their gold and their silver and their precious vessels, and they just gave it to them and said, get out of here. More than enough was given to each individual that left the land. They were separated from their enemies. They had protection from the harsh elements while they were there in the wilderness. They had guidance through the wilderness by Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They ended up with vineyards they didn't plant, with fortified cities to live in that they did not build, and homes they did not construct. God is going to give you what you could not give yourself. And I'm not just preaching about physical and material prosperity, but you could not free yourself from your anger and your addictions and your fears and your anxieties. But oh, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, and he has taken us out of sorrow into joy. This is the prophetic commentary given by Moses to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 32:9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. So I just want us to think about that for a moment. God's portion is not in gold or silver or material things. His portion is in his people. The inheritance is his people. You invest in what is going to outlive you. And God knows the thing that's going to outlive this earth is you and me. We are eternal. We are eternal souls. That's why he's investing in you and I. One day he'll reap the reward on that investment. Not just in this earth, where we're witnessing to others. We're bringing people into contact with Jesus Christ. But one day we're going to rule and reign with him. But then he says, he found him in a desert land, in a wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as the eagle stirs up his nest, hovers over its young, spreading spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no foreign God with him. God finds us in desperate places. God finds us in needy places. God finds us in places where we cannot deliver ourselves from. He specializes in that. Oh, I'm so glad that God took me out of anger into peace. I am so glad that God took me out of loneliness into feeling secure in Him. Moses knew where God had found them, but he also knew where God was taking them. Do you know where God's taking you? Oh, I'm not living for this life alone, but even while I'm living for this life alone, my world may sow to the wind and reap a whirlwind, but I'm going to sow to the Spirit, and I shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I'm not going to reap what they're reaping. They may be reaping a harvest of anger and malice and bitterness, but I'm going to have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Where did God find you? Where are you at today? You may be still feeling like you're in a wilderness. God saw that they were in a difficult place. So in Exodus 3 and 8, he says, "So I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites." He said, "I found you and I brought you out and I brought you up." That's what God has done for me. He brought me out of some things and he's taken me to a higher place of living. Oh, glory be to God for his deliverance. After citing the list of the heroes of faith that enjoyed the exchange program of the Old Testament in Hebrews chapter number 11, the Old Testament, then we read about some of the first century Hebrews that were persecuted. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 11 and verse 39. "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." We rejoiced a little bit today at where God found Israel or the Hebrews and where he took them to. But the word says there's something better for you and me. Something better, something better, something better. There's something better than houses and lands. There's something better than a city I didn't build. There's something better than a vineyard that I didn't plant. There's something better. It's the power of God in my life. He's taken us to a place of spiritual power and might and dominion. Amen. The character and abilities of God do not change. Therefore, when God came in the flesh, he continued his exchange program. At the launch of his ministry, Jesus stepped forward in the synagogue. This is after 40 days of being tempted in the wilderness. This is after being pressured again and again. And you read it closely. He didn't just get those three temptations. He got tempted for 40 days. And those were the trump cards, basically, of Satan that he gave to him, those last ones. And he was victorious. And then the Bible says the angels came and ministered to him. And then he went forth in the power and the authority of the Spirit out of the wilderness, and he began to minister, and he comes to the synagogue, and as he enters the synagogue, they give him a book to read. Just randomly, they give him a book to read. Just randomly, they give him one of the prophets. It just so happens it's Isaiah, and in chapter 61, he begins to read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, And the Bible says he stops there. He doesn't read the next phrase, the day of vengeance of our God. But then we read after that, that parenthetical remark is in there. And then we go to the next part of the scripture, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. You see, God's exchange program, he knows exactly what I need. He has available to you and to me, and not just to us who sit in this place, but to those who are outside of the doors of this house, those that are filled with anger and frustration. The only way they're going to truly have peace is through the power of the cross. We've got to take Jesus to our world and declare to them the whole counsel of God. I believe that there are some Saul of Tarsus out there. There are some people that are railing against the church and against God and against righteousness. But there needs to be a holy revelation, and God's going to use you and I to minister to them, to speak to them the word of truth and the word of hope. And some of those that are running headlong for hell will turn around and begin to become ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Yes, oh, God is doing some mighty things. He's given a spirit of restoration to the church. Those that have walked away are now coming back. Those that have never known, that have wandered in the wilderness, are beginning to say, there's got to be something better than this life. Oh, there is something better than this life. There is something great in this life. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. God has great things to give to our world. When Jesus Christ came, Bartimaeus brought Jesus blindness, and Jesus gave Bartimaeus sight. The 10 lepers brought Jesus polluted flesh, and he gave them clean skin. The lame man brought Jesus weakness, and he gave strength to his legs to walk. Peter's mother-in-law brought Jesus sickness, and he restored her to health, that she got up so quickly and began to minister to those and provide and entertain those that were in her household. Mary Magdalene brought Jesus possession, but Jesus granted her deliverance. The servants brought Jesus pots of water, and he gave them goblets of wine. And the list of what Jesus gave in exchange for what people gave him goes throughout his whole ministry. And Jesus said to you and I, greater things than these shall ye do, because I go to the Father. He's not done giving good things to this world. He has an exchange program available. I am so glad this isn't buying penny stock and hoping to become a millionaire. This isn't gambling on some earthly scheme. This isn't a Ponzi scheme. No, this is reality. And you who sit in this place, many of you are witnesses of what God has done. Think of where you were and where you are. Oh, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God has the greatest exchange program on this earth. In Matthew, he tells a story in chapter 13 in verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And oh, for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. He finds something that is worth more than everything else he has. He says, the kingdom of God is like that. Oh, it's hard for carnal eyes to see that. It was hard for our unregenerate man to see that. This is more valuable than silver or gold. Oh, yes. This is more valuable than my pride or esteem or position. Oh, yes. It's more valuable than anything. Sell everything you have and buy in. Oh, I've heard it throughout my life. I'm old enough that people have tried to get me invested in all kinds of things. Thankfully, when I came to Portland, I said, I'm not going to sell anything but Jesus. So I don't even want to talk about that. You can talk to me about Amway or Melaleuca or Watkins or you name it. You know, and I've named some names. But you could talk to me about all that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the kingdom of God. It's more valuable than anything else. If you spend your life for Him, He will reward you in eternity. If we save our lives, we'll lose it. But if we give our lives, we'll gain eternal life. And then he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The kingdom of God is the most valuable thing in the whole wide world. It's the most valuable thing in the universe because it's going to outlive you. It's going to outlive me. It's going to outlive terra firma. It's going to outlive all the planets. When they all melt with fervent heat, the kingdom of God will exist. And I, John, saw the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven and sitting upon the earth. There's a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm not giving my life for this earth. This is the exchange program we're selling everything to buy into. And if you would consider with me as we stand, you can bring brokenness and He will give you wholeness. If you're sick, He can grant you health. And in a few moments, we're going to open this altar. And I know it's a little unorthodox during this day. I will put a shield on when I begin to pray for you. So will the other ministers. If you just want to come to the altar and pray, you take your own risk. And it's just quite all right. But we won't spit in your face. If you want to pray for somebody as a saint, just put your mask on and come lay hands on their shoulders and believe that Jesus works through you, because we are all ministers of the kingdom of God. You can bring Him heaviness and He can grant you praise. You can bring Him sorrow and He will grant you joy. Doubt and He will give you faith. You can bring Him questions and He will give you answers and solutions. You can bring Him spiritual poverty and He will give you spiritual wealth. You can bring Him nothing and He will give you everything. You can bring death and get life. We're talking God's exchange program. You can bring Him the worst and He'll give you only the best. You can bring fear and He'll grant love. You can bring disease and He will grant you faith and He will grant you wholeness. You can bring sin and He will give salvation. You can bring loss and He will give gain. You can bring anger and He'll grant you a spirit of forgiveness. You can bring turmoil and He'll set your mind at peace, and you can bring Him the end and He'll give you a new beginning, because He is the God of the great exchange program. And I read to you again from Isaiah's writing, chapter 60 and verse 7, instead of bronze, I will bring you gold. I want to ask you, compare the value of anything. What does God ever give you anything that's less? Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will also make your officers peace. So he said, I'm going to give you all these things. I don't know what it is that you have to bring to God, but He can give you something in exchange. And then when you walk out of this place, your officers are peace. They're peace officers. They're not just arresting a bunch of rioters. They're protecting your peace. That's what God said He'd give to you. And I know there's turmoil in our world. I know our city's in the news night after night after night. And it seems to be the most notorious, other than maybe Seattle. And there it is on the news. And we see the rioting and the burning and the agitation and the confusion. But my officers are peace. I can look from my balcony or windows and I can see downtown. And I pray over it. And last night before I retired for the evening, I said, thank you, Jesus, for calling me here. This is a beautiful city. I release peace. Call by your spirit those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Lead your body. Lead your church body to those that are searching. And guess what? God does that. And he connects the dots. And so in this house are people who never knew each other, and they were connected by some random event. No, God's in charge. And he's saying, I got some exchanges for you. It's time to rejoice in what God has promised. And it's time to activate God's exchange program. This altar is open for rejoicing. This altar is open for petition. This altar is open for you to say, okay, God, here's what I'm bringing. I'm bringing confusion, but I need clarity. I'm bringing sickness, but I need healing in my body. God is still healing diseases. Not everybody's dying of coronavirus, and God still has the authority over that. And I can give you some testimonies from some friends that have been healed of COVID-19 by the power of God. This altar is open to rejoice, to petition. God has an exchange program for you and for me.